This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to Your Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your announcer, Optimus Solo, and on today's episode, join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the RC crew as they talk TV in the modern era. That's right, for TV talk all the time, stop channel surfing and let us take over your remote control.
The name of the island they found me on is Leon Yu. It's Mandarin for purgatory. I've been stranded here for 5 years. I've dreamt of my rescue every cold black night since then. For 5 years, I've had only one thought, one goal. Survive. Survive and one day return home. The island held many dangers. To live, I had to make myself more than what I was. To forge myself into a weapon. I am returning. Not the boy who was shipwrecked, but the man who will bring justice to those who have poisoned my city. My name is Oliver Queen.
Welcome to Remote Control. I am, of course, TFG1 Mike. This is episode 42. 42 is the magic number because right now, folks, it is the summer of superheroes. Well, we're starting this a little late. It's almost, you know, the second or third week of August or whatever it is. I don't even know anymore. Joining me once again, as always, for now, is trying to be DJV. It's DJ Valentine from the Simplistic Reviews podcast. He is my diggle at this point.
In the immortal words of my favorite character on this show, and maybe every CW show, hey, kid.
God. Oh, crap. So, people might know what I'm doing or know what we will be doing here. I've mentioned this on the Remote Control Facebook page, on the GCRN Facebook page. From episode 42 to 49 of this podcast, we are going to go through every single season, two seasons per podcast, of all of the CW current shows. This does not include Black Lightning. At this point, it does not include Black Lightning because I have not had time to even watch Black Lightning. So this episode will be season 1 and 2 of Arrow. Next time, season 3 of Arrow with Flash season 1 because that's the continuity order. Arrow Season 4, Flash Season 2, Legends Season 1, Supergirl Season 1, Arrow Season 5, Flash Season 3, Legends 2, Supergirl 2. Wow. Supergirl and Legends. Ugh. Legends, yes. Supergirl, meh. Arrow 6.
He's already giving commentary on the season.
Arrow 6, Flash 4. And, wow, it's like a football score.
Arrow 6, Flash 4!
Legends, Legends 3 and Supergirl 3. I don't know. I had been wanting to do this for a while. Originally, we had had a show called The Legends of the Brave and the Bold, where Steve Megatron and I were going to go through, not necessarily season by season, episode by episode, but we were going to do a whole CW Batman type of thing. Obviously, Batman isn't in the CW television universe.
Or is he?
Well, Batwoman will be, thank God. Finally, something good on Supergirl. Oh my God.
You're getting ahead of yourself. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Yes, I know. All right, so how this is going to work, folks, is we have four categories. We have stage dressing, casting couch, to jump or not to jump the shark, and obviously exiting stage left, so that's kind of the closing. What were you doing back in 2012 when this was kind of announced? Or 2011, it was probably announced in 2011, saying, hey, fall of 2012, the CW is starting a new show, and it isn't Smallville!
Oh, man. I mean, Arrow was a show that shouldn't have worked for me. The previous attempt at Green Arrow on the CW was the one on Smallville, which to me was just cosplay Oliver Queen. So when I heard they were giving him his own show with the guy behind Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern as showrunner, I was severely skeptical, would be the nice way to say it, other than cursing, screaming at the sky. I didn't know at the time who Stephen Amell was. I didn't know why they didn't just call the damn show Green Arrow. But I think what this show did to subconsciously win me over, mm-hmm. at least the first 2.5 seasons, was to crib a lot, which we were joking about before, crib a lot of elements from Batman, namely Batman Begins with, spoiler alert, Malcolm Merlyn's season one plan mirrored a lot of Ra's al Ghul's plan from Batman Begins.
Oh yeah.
So before I knew it, I was in to Arrow. If you ever heard the earliest episodes of our podcast, the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we were getting in depth in seasons. Like, oh my god, we would talk about episodes after episodes from 1 and 2, which again I never thought I'd be doing. Seeing the first ad for it, which was, it just seemed like some kind of the hot kids on CW now messing with comic books. So I was just like, but after the first, I don't know. I guess after the first neck snap, I think I was in. I was like, oh, okay, all right. There was one scene in particular in the first episode of the pilot where Ollie is, I guess, I'm spoiling the show, I guess.
It's 6 years old, dude. You can right. spoil the show. I mean, come
Ollie,
on.
Ollie is kidnapped and tied to a chair.
Right.
And the guys are questioning him. And at this point of the show, I'm like this. I'm watching the show with my arms folded like, see, this show is going to be one of those stupid shows, you know. And then when he's getting tortured, and then he pulls his hands out like his hands are bound behind him. But then he tells the criminals, I'm not bound to the chair. And he pulls his hands out and then tears them to pieces.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, let me see where this goes. And then where it went was, for me, 2 really, really good seasons, so. 2.5 really good season.
Yeah, yeah. I will say right now, as we go through this, Arrow season 3, 4, and to somewhat a lesser sort of extent, 5, I did not care. When I was watching these as they unfolded, Arrow season 3, you might as well just change his costume, give him a batarang, and just call him fucking...
They've even admitted to this, that he's Batman.
Yeah, so. I mean, you might as well just call him fucking Batman, because, you know, fuck Batman. I mean, come on.
But no, they've admitted. You were correct. I mean, I've already talked about the whole Malcolm Merlyn, the mm-hmm. Glades, the Narrows mirror thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, season 3... I kind of thought season 3 was going really, really well up until because they were promising. I'm pretty sure that season 3 would Ra's al Ghul.
Yep.
And when he, I guess, spoiler alert again, gets kicked, fights Ra's al Ghul, which I think that scene is probably one of the greatest comic book, live action comic book scenes of all time, by the way, with Oliver versus Ra's al Ghul on a mountainside. I love that scene. I would put it up against any comic book scene you got. It's awesome. But after he falls off that cliff, the show kind of falls off that cliff with him.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It kind of recovered in the last, more recent season.
Season
but there
6
was a dark...
good, but yeah. It seasons, like, you know how everyone says, oh, it took Star Trek The Next Generation until like season 3 or 4 to find its legs?
Find its legs, right.
For me, once season 3 of Arrow happened, I was like, okay, it had its legs in season 1 and 2, sort of. It was building, it was building, it was building. And then Ra's comes in and basically undercuts it, and the show became a pirate, double pirate peg leg or something, because it had to find itself again. And I didn't.
For the first half of season 3, I'm telling you, up until that fight, I was all aboard. I was like, this is awesome. First off, I don't know if you noticed about me, I love Ra's al Ghul. He might be one of my favorite DC villains, if not my favorite DC villain of all time. And I was, again, arms folded when they started bringing him to the Arrow. I'm like, you're not going to beat Liam Neeson. There's no way you're going to get close to Liam Neeson. And this guy, I forget his name. He was in the Riddick sequel. I forget his name. He does a really good job at Ra's al Ghul, especially in that fight scene. And I thought, what I thought was going to happen, I know we're skipping way ahead to season 3,
yeah,
is that once he fell off that cliff, we wouldn't see Amell for the rest of the season. That's what should have happened. Should have been, it took him a long time to go from I fought Ra's al Ghul and died to coming back. So but they waited. I think the CW didn't have the balls to do that, and they just bring him back in the next
episode, essentially. That's the problem with the CW and with the network model. That 6 years ago and even now today, it has not changed. They have the winter finale. They have the summer. They have these 2 points in a television season's lifespan of whatever. Like we said at the beginning of this so far, season one had 23 episodes. At some point around, say, 11, 12. I mean, I just watched this whole season for season one. I don't even know where, like, the winter finale thing, like, but that's what happened. Yeah, I don't know. But that's what happened in season three. I remember that. They did the cliffhanger. They did him falling off the thing. Mm-hmm. And then that
which
was,
is great. Which I want to underline, it's great.
Except that should have been the full-on season finale, not the mid-season finale. Yeah, exactly.
I completely agree with you. If that was a season, if they would have made these, and we've been kicking this around a bit for years, even the Netflix model, we've been kicking that around a bit too. Mm-hmm. If they make these seasons more compact, like, again, I'm sorry, British television, where they make no episode filler. Every episode is about the plot. You make it 10 episodes, 11 episodes max, and that's the season finale. Season 3 might have been one of the best seasons ever because it's such a good first half. Mm-hmm. But then the second half is just like, oh, it's never going to get better than this. And all of these shows, these CW models, these network television models, out of a fear of not having enough content for their network, they give these shows 23 episodes, and you got like 5 that are meaningful. The rest of them are just like monster of the week, as it was the coin phrase in Buffy, or just filler. You need to make these more. When you make them slim and mean, lean and mean seasons, like a Luther or a BBC show like that, you can really more get a handle on this. You can get a handle on these characters, and that's what Netflix is dealing with now with the Marvel stuff. Is everybody saying, oh, you know, whether it's Luke Cage or Jessica Jones or whatever, these seasons are too long. And those are 13 episodes. Arrow is 23 bloody episodes long.
So I have not seen this in 6 years since it debuted, 2012-2013 television season. I have not gone back to season one. I still remember almost everything. There are certain things I forgot. There are certain things I've, like, as I was watching, I would post on social media saying, oh, hey, I forgot about this. Or, you know, it's like, you know, there goes that person, or there goes that person, or, oh my God, like, looking at the Arrow title card from season 6 to what it was in season, the Arrow title card in season 1 is basically your basic black. And I forgot about that.
Now, by my rough estimate, you have not had sex in 1,839 days. As your wingman, I highly recommend Carmen Golden.
Which one is she?
The one who looks like the chick from Twilight.
What's Twilight?
You're so better off not knowing.
It's just interesting going, like, I was hooked, okay? When I was watching this, it took me probably till about episode 12 was my kind of like, okay, I kind of remember what goes on from episode 12 to episode 23, because episode 12 was Vertigo, was like, oh God, this, that's right, I remember this. But the first 11 episodes, I was like, ooh,
forgot about that.
Forgot about Deadshot. Forgot about Huntress. I was like, ooh, Huntress, she needs to come back now. She needs to come back for season 7. Hidden love child with Oliver Queen for season 7 or something. Have William have a brother or something. Like, yeah. It's just crazy. Jumping on the casting couch for this show, as you said, Stephen Amell, I had never heard of this guy until this show. Even if I had looked him up, I wouldn't, like, this show and him as Casey Jones in the TMNT Out of the Shadows movie.
How dare you bring that up? How dare you?
What? Out of the Shadows was better than the first film.
Oh, come on.
It was better than the first one.
This just, you can't, you're comparing this Stephen Amell as Casey Jones, which the closest thing Stephen Amell has to Casey Jones is that his name is Casey Jones. That's the only thing to have in common to the Casey Jones that was in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie or the, any animated series. But yes, but yeah, I've never heard of him before.
I think
the fact that Amell going in, it's especially if you're talking about the first couple episodes that you almost forgot about. Because so did I. The fact that Amell took the role and performed it super serious really won me over on him. Yeah. There is like literally no tongue in cheek with him for the first like season and a half, where he's just Batman. He's essentially Bruce Wayne, which works for the character and makes him a standout in the DCCW universe. When he's like in a scene, Amell's in a scene with, let's say, Barry Allen. CDC, you can put a dark character with a light character, resulting in an effect that is entertaining, you know, relationship wise. But I digress. It works because he is so good at playing stoic. I mean, he's pretty good at playing Batman. If they're making a Batman show, he's really good at Bruce Wayne because he's nailing all the dual identity. I'm really serious in my personal life, and in my public life I have to play like the drunken playboy. That's Batman. that's all Batman is, and I thought he really nailed that tone for this character.
Yeah, I mean, looking through his filmography before Arrow,
soap opera stuff, I'm assuming.
He was in an episode or two episodes of New Girl.
Oh, okay.
He was in one episode of CSI. He was in one episode of NCIS Los Angeles.
So was I. Everybody on that show. Mm-hmm.
His television debut, according to the information I have, he was in two episodes as the spinning instructor on Queer as Folk.
Okay.
Don't know
that.
He was a doorman in Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Oh, okay. That's a great show.
Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah. Okay, so the coolest thing outside of him being this character is
being on a show with Drake.
Okay, so while Arrow has been going on, in 2015, they did something really cool. I will try to find the audio, the video, I don't know.
Stardust is a dangerous man.
Kick his ass, Arrow! Kick his ass, Arrow! Kick his ass!
Stephen Amell was a guest here, and he entered a WWE ring, and that's not good no matter who you are.
He was provoked by Stardust.
Provoked? You don't come in here as a guest and jump in the ring? You call it provoked?
Stardust shouldn't go after Stephen Amell. He started this whole thing.
He teamed up with Neville and went against, two other WWE people. Basically, he was at a WWE show.
Oh, you're talking about when he went against Goldust.
Yeah,
right?
It was Goldust and Cody Rhodes. That's what it was.
Right.
I was like, hey, it's Arrow against the WWE. They need
and he's
to make
jumping
a,
off of stuff.
Oh my god, like him jumping off the thing and going this way and going, and then him basically, going, not necessarily going up against, because I know it was, let's face it, folks, it's not fake, but it's planned, it's choreographed, but him...
It hurts, but it's planned.
Yeah.
It's planned hurting, yes, essentially.
It's planned pain.
Exactly.
Him basically saying to Triple H and Vince McMahon, I don't care, I'll sign whatever you want, just make it happen.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, well, here's the thing. I brought you here as a guest, to be a spectator, not a participant. You understand me? You're lucky you walked out of that ring in one piece.
But Stardust was going to start all of this.
I will deal with Stardust.
Hey,
Let us deal with Stardust.
Us? Us? Let me make one thing clear to you. You are not now, nor will you ever be, one of us. You're an actor.
Yeah, I get it. I'm an actor. I'm also a man. If some guy's gonna put his hands on me, I'm gonna fight back.
So let the two of us take care of Barrett and Stardust at SummerSlam. What was gonna be the red arrow and the green arrow, huh? Here's the thing. I'm done talking about this. The parking lot is this way. I am not risking everything for you.
Tell you what. Whatever your lawyers want me to sign, I'll sign. Take full responsibility for what happens. Make the match.
Like, that was the, like, at that point in 2015, I had just started Mayhem Mike's, our wrestling podcast that we have here at Geekcast Radio Network and over on This Week in Geek as well. I was like, I just started that, and I'm like, oh, this is, because by 2015, I had been watching WWE at that time for about 8 years. I started in 2007 again. After
right.
Before 2007, I hadn't watched anything WWE since, I don't know, 1991.
Oh.
or 98, actually. But anyway, so it's like, oh, okay, by the time 2015 rolls around, wow, cool. I'm watching that show. I'm watching this stuff. Cool, that's interesting. But yeah, no,
He doesn't take himself, and the thing about, if you ever watch him at Comic-Con or any like doing the WWE stuff, the thing about Amell, which I really like him, is that he doesn't take himself too seriously, and he's really serious about the character, right? I think he understands that Arrow is essentially the foundation of this whole CW DC universe. So he takes that, you know, responsibility seriously. But if you ever see him at a Comic-Con or messing around with John Barrowman at a convention or something like that, he can laugh at himself. He doesn't mind doing the playful thing, which,
oh, exactly,
it's you don't understand how rare that is when it comes to these Hollywood characters. Oh, yeah. Especially when they're taking super actors doing superhero roles. Some of them don't, you know, whatever, it's a show. I think he understands it's up to a lot of people out there that this character has been around before him. It'll be around after him. He takes it seriously. He takes the network, his responsibility on the network very seriously. But he's not a prick, essentially, what I'm saying.
Absolutely, yeah. And see, here's the thing about him. You say Green Arrow will be around. It was obviously around before him. It'll be around after him, whatever. Here's the thing. The only other person that I can remember that I actively loved as Green Arrow was the guy that voiced him in Justice League Unlimited. I forget what his name is off the top of my head. I forget what his name is off the top of my head.
I go to you for these things, man.
Yeah,
I know.
I'll look it up and we'll have it for the season 3 episode next week. So right now for me, Amell is the definitive.
Oh, yeah.
And Green Arrow, like Hugh Jackman is right now the definitive Wolverine and Logan, even though Cal J. Dodd was the definitive for X-Men 92 as the voice,
right?
You know,
in the video game,
what surprised me about, and I knew this because I've known since I've been watching the whole thing, but every time I see Willa Holland's name in this show, I'm like, hey. What's Caitlin from the OC doing in the? That's my first thought.
That's what she's. Thank you. Thank you so much.
What the hell is Marissa's little sister?
And I'm like, looking. I'm like, God, I know you. Why do I know you, Willa? Why do I know you? I watched the OC religiously. That's another show you can talk about.
Oh yeah, I love that show.
So I'm like looking at her. I'm always looking at her. I'm like, God, I know you. I see your face.
Yep.
Thank you. Ooh, it was bothering me.
And then, you know, another recurring guest star as Robert Queen, Jamie Sheridan, was Deacons, Captain Deacons on Law & Order, Criminal Intent.
Yeah, he was Captain... The beard. It's the beard
that throws you off, but you hear the voice and you know it's him. Absolutely. Yeah. Like you mentioned, John Barrowman, this is my first time seeing him. I know
he's
done...
Oh, you haven't seen Torchwood or anything, right?
No, I have not seen any of that stuff.
Right.
So I love him. Manu Bennett as Slade Wilson.
Okay,
hold on.
Don't. Manu Bennett needs to be spoken to in reverence.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm just saying. I swear, before I knew what his name was, that the fact that he was Slade, I looked at that guy and I'm like, I know I've seen him in other stuff. I just did not know the guy's name at the time, and I even looked him up, and I'm like, I don't remember anything that he's done.
The biggest thing he's done is probably The Hobbit, which you never saw his face. He was the white orc, one that was fighting Oakenshield or whatever, but that was after this. But for a long time, Ron Perlman was my Deathstroke. I mean, much like Michael Ironside is still my dark side.
Oh, yeah.
But Manu Bennett, oh man, he knocks my he's so good at Slade Wilson, so much so his is the only, when you say Deathstroke to me, the first voice that pops into my head is, hey kid, with that little whisper he does. Mm-hmm. A little whisper growl. Sorry, Joe Manganiello. I mean, you're popular or whatever, but you'll never be Deathstroke. You probably never be Deathstroke, but you'll never be my Deathstroke. You're gonna have a tall mountain to climb to overtake what Manu does here, because he and Oliver have this dual arc that's so good from season one to the apex that is season two. Their friendship works. The fact that Oliver learned from the best. I like that. It's almost like a Samurai Jack sort of thing, where Oliver's just picking up all these skills from different people, just like Samurai Jack picked up, I'm going to learn from Robin Hood. I'm going to learn from the Gladiators. So the fact he's being trained by Deathstroke the Terminator is so dope. And not to jump a season ahead, but the love triangle between him and Shadow and Ollie works for me, unlike the one between Ollie, Laurel, and Tommy. That didn't really work for me that well. But the fact that that love triangle worked really makes season two work, because him coming to town trying to get revenge, I was like, okay, I know why he's doing this. This makes a complete sense than anything other than, and just that amount of pain that Manu kind of conveys, because he's always just tortured. He's always super serious. It just makes season two. That's why season two is my favorite season, is because it's mostly Manu.
Yeah, he has worked with both John Cena and Stone Cold. He was in The Marine, and he was in The Condemned.
Oh, WWE, yes, he was films. In The Condemned. Yeah. I remember. Yes, I remember that. I think it might have been the first thing I've seen him in was The Condemned, actually.
Probably. That's most likely the first thing I saw him in. Mm. Katie Cassidy is Laurel.
Polarizing.
Yeah. I love how they've taken her, the actress, and reshaped the Laurel character over the years. Like, obviously, spoilers, not that I need to say that, because, hello, the show's 6 years old. A few people haven't seen the first five seasons, at least. You know, our Laurel eventually does die, but they've taken her and turned her into Black Siren, alternate Earth Laurel kind of thing. I love that they were able to do that with her.
What's your favorite Laurel? Because my favorite Laurel, I think the Laurel that works for this show is Lawyer Laurel.
Yeah.
There's Lawyer Laurel, there's Drunk Laurel, then there's Black Canary Laurel, then there's Black Siren Laurel.
I think Lawyer and Black Siren work the best.
I think you're right. Because Black Canary Laurel, not so much. not so much. No. So much so that they, going to another character, Felicity Smoke, kind of took her spot. Because in the comic books, Black Canary and Green Arrow, that's the Superman-Lois Lane relationship. Yep. Or Batman-Catwoman relationship. And they're like, well, Amel kind of has more chemistry with Emily Beth. Yeah, so we're going to go that way if you don't mind.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, when they turned her into Black Canary, I'm like, I don't care what anyone says. Mm. I do not care. I understand it's a quote-unquote bad show, but there was one shining moment in Birds of Prey. Is when Lori friggin' Loughlin from Full House comes in as Black Canary. That's Black Canary to me.
That's your Black Canary?
Oh, yeah. Forget Rebecca Donaldson.
Okay, Birds of Prey was a TV show that was on. How many seasons was that on? One?
Just one. 13 episodes. It's all
YouTube
I got.
YouTube it, folks. Don't, trust me, it'll be there. Yep. It'll be there.
Yep. Since you mentioned her earlier, Emily Beth Richardson or Rickerson.
I always want to say Emily Beth Richardson, but it's Emily Beth Rickards.
Rickards, that's what it is. She has not been in a lot of stuff other than the DC TV stuff. Films, her debut was a short film called Bacon and Eggs. In 2012, she was in a flick of movie, Cowgirls and Angels, Dakota's Summer.
Cowgirls and Angels. These sound like you're just making shows up.
I'm not. These are actual it's films. Real. Sadly, yes. And most of her her television stuff is Arrow, Flash, Legends. Supergirl.
Right. I give the showrunners credit because if you watch. Her first scene on this show, which I just recently got to watch. I think it's episode 4 or episode 3. She, from the first scene, you're like, oh, you can't just have, because I think she was supposed to be one episode, and this character is from the comic books, but it's such a throwaway character in the comic books, so just it seemed like it was like a name drop. But she is so good as this quirky kind of, you know, playing off of Oliver's stoic, again, contrasting a comic character, a comical, you know, bright character with a dark, brooding character works, DC. but when the first thing, I think Oliver's dropping off like a laptop and he wants her to decode it or whatever.
Yep.
And she's just so like bumbly, nervous. It's like I could watch a whole show. This could be a show, just them.
Felicity is, in season one, she is the uber hot nerd girl.
Right, right. But she has charisma. Like she has charisma.
She does.
And her, as the show goes on, her backstory is actually really interesting. With
it is, yes.
With her father and her mom. And her mom, she has a lot. I mean, thinking about where they could have gone if they would have, you know, followed the comic book. And I'm more of a stickler to following the source material. But again, I get the bad rap of I just want it to be just like the comic books. I want it to be like the comic books in terms of nailing a character. But if there's some change that makes it better, and making Felicity Smoke the main love interest to Ollie is making it better, because the chemistry between those two are just you can see it in the first scene. I'm like, you can't deny this. Yeah, if you want to make her be on the show all the time, at first I was like, okay, she can be. And then when I brought her back eventually, and she was kind of like their Q customer support or whatever, I was fine with that. But when they made the love, I was like, yeah, I'm fine with that too, because she has every scene she's in, she's great in. So,
Yeah, season one, I think my favorite line from her: "I'm so glad to have you inside."
Yeah,
like, oh my god,
the running gag was she kept saying lines wrong, that sounded like innuendo.
Oh yeah, it's innuendo. But yeah, it's so fun.
What do you see?
6 armed guards, 2 pit bosses, and 4 men. No slot machines. I mean, how do you call yourself a casino without any lucky sevens?
Stay focused, please. I'll be with you the entire time.
Thanks. It feels really good having you inside me. And by you, I mean your voice. And by me, I mean my ear. And stop talking right now.
That would be my preference.
Absolutely. I absolutely love her. Other cast members, like we mentioned, John Barrowman, surprised me to find Kelly Hu as China White.
Yeah, I think I knew that going in from the commercial. I think she's in the commercial when they were first promoting it. Probably. And I saw Kelly Hu's in Arrow, and I was like, all right. I knew more about Kelly Hu than I knew about, you know, Stephen Amell or anybody else on the show. I was like, okay.
Like, she is actually the one in out of season one, probably. The one name that I recognize the most outside of, like I said before, Jamie Sheridan and
when was Michael Jai White on there? Because he was Bronze Tiger, I think, but I can't remember if that's 2 or 1. I always get the season thing.
Probably 2, because he was not in this one, I don't think.
Right. But no, yeah, Kelly was like the big guest star.
she's the big recurring guest star, because her, you know, started off with Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan for a film debut.
Wow.
And then she was in Surf Ninjas in 1993.
I mean, I can't blame her for that.
No. Obviously, X2 is Lady Deathstrike in 2003.
Yeah. Great in that role. Yeah, she didn't absolutely. Say anything.
She doesn't have to. I mean, does she really have to?
Well, Deathstrike's such a... Again, I'm going to the comics. She's such an interesting character, and they kind of give her nothing to say. Yeah. But she looked the part, and her fight scene with Hugh Jackman's awesome. That's, like, one of the highlights of that movie, so...
Yep. She was... let's see, what else? She was Inspector Michelle Chan in one of my favorite TV shows, Nash Bridges, from 97 to 98.
Good old Nash Bridges.
Yep. She was in Sammo Hung's Martial Law from 98 to 2000.
I think I watched that show.
It's so funny. I'm just a network we have here called H&I Heroes and Icons. They're running this day shift where they run like Nash Bridges on Monday, Early Edition on Tuesdays, NYPD Blue on Wednesdays or whatever. And I'm watching Early Edition which I have not watched that show in forever.
Kyle Chandler's Early Edition.
Yep, exactly. And I'm like, there was an episode at the end of the third season, because that's where I'm picking it up on this network, is the end of the third season going into the fourth, where it was a crossover and Sammo from Martial Law
was in Chicago. Get out of here.
Not get kidding. It was hilarious. I'll give you the episode name later. I loved it.
I gotta see this.
I thought it was hilarious. Kelly also, she's the voice of Stacy Hirano on Phineas and Ferb. She was in Numbers for an episode, NCIS Los Angeles, Hawaii.
Again, Five-0. Everybody has been on that show.
yeah, exactly. Obviously, most recently this year, she's entangled the series as Adria.
Mm.
So there's that. But yeah, no. The cast in this show, I love them all, pretty much. There really isn't...
How do you feel about Tommy?
He's dead at this point. But
how do you feel about Tommy?
I mean,
he's dead. What a response!
I like him once he had his money taken away from him, that he had to actually grow up. I hate his father for doing that, but you know, you see these rich kids, and you're like, okay, being the rich kid, you know, character stereotype, that's great, whatever. But something's got to change. And I do like how he stepped up. I had forgotten that Oliver had told him that Oliver was the Hood. And let's talk about this, folks. In the first season of this show, they call the guy the Hood, the vigilante,
forever. They call him the Hood forever. Call him anything else.
It took, and I understand story-wise, I get it, but it took them until they were backdooring Flash for them to, number one, get him an actual mask and get him I get it, it's a story thing, they're gonna build up to it, but 2.5 seasons of building to your getting your Arrow mask and your actual comic,
it's the
name?
Vigilante, or it's the Hood, or it's the, you know, the guardian angel. I'm like, dude, this any we needed Cisco to give these people names.
Yeah, we needed Cisco. In Cisco we trust.
Yes, he's the one that gave him the mask, if I remember correctly. Or was that
No, it was Barry
gave him the mask?
Maybe, I think Barry said something about, here, Cisco whipped this up for you.
Right.
But it was Barry that actually gave him the mask.
Okay.
Or something.
Or perhaps it's because the vigilante's activities have had a chilling effect on the city's criminals.
What are your thoughts, Oliver? I think the vigilante needs a better code name than the Hood, or the Hood Guy.
I agree.
How about Green Arrow? Lame.
Yeah.
Yes.
Paint on his eyes. Like, every time I watch the show, I'm like, hey, I'm just waiting for someone to go, hey, Oliver.
Yeah,
because I can clearly see it's you. It's just, you know, Oliver would
face paint. The first episode with Huntress, when I'm like, okay. Like, before he and the Huntress actually even mixed it up together, as soon as I saw her, and I'm like, okay, and I saw the Frank Bertinelli, and I'm like, okay, well, it's clearly Helena. It's clearly a woman on that motorcycle. Like, I mean, you know, and then obviously they're in that fight, and he basically punches through her helmet and rips it off her. I'm like, are you really that shocked, Oliver? Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Use your brain. What are some of your notes and thoughts overall for the season? Did you have specific moments that you remember as you watch some of this stuff, or...
I guess we got to talk about Diggle. Diggle he's the Harley Quinn of this series for the simple fact that he's such a great character. They retroactively transitioned him into the comic books, and even got people hoping for him to be a Green Lantern. I mean, Diggle. It's again about this show is like, I think they stumbled into chemistry and these characters. Like, I don't think Diggle again was supposed to be more than as a bodyguard motif, that because they had Oliver narrating their first couple of episodes, other than the opening thing.
That's the interesting thing about this show, about going back to this. I forgot there is an opening beat with the title card, but I forgot how it opened, that the narration was like, because they don't do that. They very rarely do they do that now.
Right, because I think what happened was when they were first doing they were kind of feeling their way around the pilot in the first couple episodes is that Oliver's going to be by himself, so we need to get into his mind, so we'll have him narrate. But as we've learned, and I've heard interviews of the showrunners hated the secret identity stuff because it limited them storytelling-wise, which explains that all of the CW shows go on as they go on. Oliver, Barry, Kara went from no one knowing their secret to entire buildings filled with people knowing their secret. So you don't really need narration when Oliver can say what he's thinking to Diggle or Felicity or who else knows it? Oh, Lance or Sarah or, you know, Mr. Terrific. You don't really need narration anymore. But I think they intended, or at least when they pitched the show, it was going to be like secret identity, you know, never telling about your secret. So the only way we get to know what Green Arrow is thinking is him talking to the audience. But it is weird and striking, like, oh, wait, he's still talking to us. This is episode 3. He's talking about what he's going to do. That's weird. Because now in the newer seasons, I don't think they ever do that, because he's just everything he thinks, he says it to Diggle, or he says it to, you know, Mad Dog or Wild Dog. What the heck his name is?
Wild Dog.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was fine. But I think Diggle, like I said, they backed into this stuff because the first episode where he shows up, he just feels like another throwaway character. And this guy, I forgot. What the heck is his name? I always forget Diggle's real name.
David Ramsey.
David Ramsey, yeah. He wasn't a big deal actor-wise either. So you're just thinking he's just a day player, and then you realize he really has a chemistry with Stephen Amell. And as they go into it, now you watch the first episode and you realize where Diggle is gone to where he is now. It's like, wow. He's essentially the Alfred of this. I don't mean that in a demeaning way, because Alfred is super important to Batman, and Diggle is super important to Oliver Queen, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is so crazy, and it's so fun. Like I said, I forgot about half this stuff. Once they got to the Vertigo episodes, a couple episodes, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. The Vertigo stuff, Count Vertigo. Okay,
Which one is your favorite? Is it the Peter Stormare Count Vertigo, or is it the young? Who cares what the actor's name is? Count Vertigo.
I don't even know. like Arrow in the beginning. He's just gonna go after people on the list, and then they convince Diggle and others convince him to go after all crime.
Right.
Like, doesn't matter what it is. You know, help the helpless and all this and all.
Don't
that.
Make that's, it personal.
That's great. Don't make it personal. Yada yada yada. I think by the time episode 20 rolled around, I was tired of the flashbacks and going forward.
That early, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Done. He was like, I'm out.
Like, I love Deathstroke. I love Shadow and all that and everything else. But, like, what I liked about them is in the beginning how they taught, like, when Oliver first comes back, it ties into like the first couple episodes. There was one episode where he woke up out of a nightmare, and that's how they went into the flashback. They came out of it by him waking up out of the nightmare. So it felt natural that the flashback was actually him having the nightmare of what had happened to him. But by the time everybody that is important to him knows kind of like what sort of what happened on the island and whatever else. And I already knew at this point, rewatching this, and even though I remember this happening when I first watched it, like 5 years on the island, he wasn't always on that damn island.
Right.
You'd have to wait until season two or season three to find that out.
Hell, he went home and killed Thea's drug dealer. He went back to the
island. Oh, my God.
I like the fact, even though they kind of Tommy kind of hints at it, that he makes reference to Lost. So this show is kind of Lost in reverse, where instead of being on an island and flashing back to your life in the city, they're in the city and flashing back to their life on the island. But yeah, I think after – I can't say I didn't like the flashbacks because, again, it gave me Deathstroke, gave me Wintergreen, right. It gave me Fires. You know,
yeah.
I love the Bratva stuff, which they've been doing.
I liked them, but by the time – like I said, by the time the season was almost over, I was over – like, I don't dislike, but I'm just kind of like over the whole flashback thing.
Right.
Couple of things that I noticed in this season, and this didn't actually happen until season three, but like the whole thing with Laurel and her mom and her dad and Sarah and all of that, like.
Oh, they were in the recasting of Sarah with a
Caitlin. That was yes. As soon as I watched the pilot again,
like, who the hell is that?
That's not Katie. That's not Hot Canary. What's going on? I mean, the girl's hot, but that's not the same actor.
Sarah Lance.
It's like I'm just waiting for the voiceover guy. The part of Sarah Lance is now being played.
The
like,
part
I'm
of Sarah Lance will be played by another
exactly.
actress.
Exactly. I'm you waiting don't. For that, but. The episode where it's Laurel and her parents, her mom comes back.
Right, right.
And at the end of that episode, the mom's like, oh, okay, fine, Sarah's blah, 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 I'll let it go for now, blah, blah, blah. I guess I'm just going to go back to Central City. I'll be there in a flash. She actually says, I will be there in a flash. And it hasn't even happened. It's
they do that all the time.
Three.
They do that all the time. Greg Berlanti and I can't remember Guggenheim and Kreisberg. Yeah. Like Deadshot's in Room 52, which is a clear shout out to the New 52 for DC. They do all these little nods to DC throughout the show, and if you catch him, like, I'll be there in the flash. They do it all the time.
I caught Coast City. I caught Bloodhaven, obviously. Hello. I caught the Central City and in a flash bit when I first saw it, but going back and rewatching it, and now knowing that the flash is obviously here come later, it's like, oh, they really were planting the seeds for all of this to happen. The hell, they even mention Ferris Air, so I'm just waiting.
Oh, yeah.
They had Green Lantern
in one season, but he saw Hal Jordan. It was when Barry and Ollie were in a bar.
Yep.
And I think it was at the end of one of the crossover events, and like walking out was like Captain Jordan or something like that, and it was supposed to be Hal Jordan, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
They do these little. I give them credit for that. They don't, and they never
I
like
love
hit
it.
You, here is a new 52. They don't really like hit you over the head with it. It's always kind of like, you know, if you're paying attention, and you know comic books, you go, hey, and if not, you're like, all right.
Yep, exactly.
Like, I think he mentioned Bruce Wayne this previous season, which is the first time they mentioned Bruce Wayne, where he's like.
Yeah.
Doing a press conference, and he goes, I don't know, I was at a party where I think Bruce Wayne was there or something like that. I think, oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's never coming off like, you know, they're forcing it down your throat. I think they try and do little nods to their credit anyway.
Yeah. I think my outside of like the other episodes that set up the end part of the story with the undertaking and all of that, my two favorite characters that are just guest stars and three favorite episodes are the two Huntress episodes,
right.
And oddly enough, the Firefly episode, because I thought they did
like
that
Firefly,
really
huh?
well. I don't necessarily like him, but I've seen him in other media in the last 5 or 6 years, and I like how they did it here. I don't know how much of the Garfield Lynn story, because I'm not a huge Firefly fan,
right.
But I like how they were able to do that story within the scope of this show without Amel having to put on a bat cape.
he's right there, folks. He's got a cave.
Yeah.
He's got a butler.
He's got an arrow cave.
He's got
a butler.
He's right there, man. He's right. He's fought Ra's al Ghul. He's been Ra's al Ghul. He's banged one of Ra's al Ghul's daughters. He's right there. He's right there.
Speaking of other cast members and things that I remember from this, I forgot about Colin Salmon.
He's great, man.
You know, I remember this like it was yesterday. When I first saw this season back when it premiered, I'm like, what the hell is Robinson from GoldenEye and Tomorrow Never Dies? What the hell is James Bond's butler doing in...
Have you ever seen him on Limitless?
No. The TV show or the movie?
The TV show.
I have not seen the TV show
yet. He's like a freaking badass.
In I love that guy. Yeah,
every time Colin Salmon shows up, I'm like, oh, cool. Colin Salmon's here.
Yep.
He's in Resident Evil. He's awesome in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's great. And I think when Oliver first gets back from the island, he's very like, you know, you're banging my mom. But I think in the middle of it, and I don't think they ever make explicit mention of this, you can see Oliver realizing, I'm being a dick to this guy, but this guy's a really good guy. He's not a dick. My mom is the dick. And I think when he was coming back from the island, it was almost like set up where he's thinking his mom is, you know, just a doting mother, and what the heck is his name in the show?
Robert
is like the dick. But as you watch the show,
it's Walter. Oh, Robert. Walter. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Oliver like slowly starts to realize like, oh wait, my mom is evil, and the guy she's marrying is actually a genuinely decent human being. Which Felicity Smoke finds out he's a nice guy, and he's played by Colin Salmon, who's awesome in everything. So
yeah exactly. Like I think the best moment for Ollie and Walter was when the hood guy saved Walter,
right?
And at the end of it, he said, you know, something he basically called Ollie son,
right?
He didn't call him stepson, he didn't call him, you know, Moira's child, like he called him son. Like before this show, there were three things I knew this guy from: GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies. I don't remember if he was in World's Not Enough. I don't think he was as Charles Robinson. But that and the first Resident Evil is the only first Resident Evil movie is the only Resident Evil movie I've seen out of that franchise, and I barely remember it except for him. Him and Mila Jovovich, Miss Lilu Dallas Multipass Girl.
Lilu Dallas Multipass Girl. Yes. And the thing about him in the show is like, you almost forget that Oliver's dad was a son of a bitch. He was admittedly he shot himself because, I guess, spoiler, he was a son of a bitch. He had the clarity to realize it and tell Oliver to fix what he had. So out of everybody in Oliver's life, the one decent parent was Walter. That's
exactly.
It. His mom was a piece of shit. His father was a piece of shit. Walter was actually a decent human being.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. We didn't even really talk about in this season about Roy Harper, Red Arrow, whatever he's going to eventually... Arsenal, whatever. I liked him. I thought it was cool.
He was very. I don't have anything against the actor personally. In every media, I've never been a big Roy Harper fan, and his storyline kind of. I mean, I think I liked him the most on Young Justice, which is kind of the only time I've ever really. Yeah, okay, I can deal with you now, Roy Harper. But in comic books and in other stuff, he's always a dick. He's always kind of like, I don't go to the next person. Go back to Oliver.
Oh man, what would you rate 0 to 5 for season one? What do you think season one deserves for?
Roy, going by your GCRN scale, I'm gonna probably give it a 3.5. It's good. It's good. I think the apex, like we've talked about, is season two. I think that's when for the show to be good, from where my expectations were, is phenomenal, because I was like, this is gonna suck. I was like, there's no way. And the people behind it, they made Green Lantern. Have you seen that movie? It's all. So I'm just like, there's no way it's gonna be. entertaining. I'm going to quit after three episodes. It's going to get canceled, and it's still on the air. it's the foundation of the CW DC universe. So
yep.
I say it's good. It's very good. If you've never seen any of the shows, watch the first two seasons. Maybe skip to season five. What would you recommend?
I'm going to give season one about. I'll give it a 4.5. The only thing I'm taking a half point off for is because the Merlin stuff.
Like, you don't like the Merlin stuff?
No. I like him. I like the Dark Archer stuff. Mm. I just don't necessarily like, hey, we're going to, put an earthquake under part of the city and destroy it just because my wife got shot, so I have to kill everybody. Like,
Did you like the Ra's al Ghul fear toxin in the Narrows because we got to make the world balance? It's the same plot. It's the same thing.
No, not really. I like him as a character. I love the John Berman is a great actor.
He gets better every season, by the way. He gets better every season.
The best, and we're like I said, folks, this is the summer of superheroes on Remote Control, and we've jumped around, and we're gonna continue to jump around. The best part of Merlin is when he eventually teams up with Damian Dark.
I don't know. I think the best part of Merlin is when he just inexplicably shows up in the Arrow Cave, and they can't figure out how he keeps finding a way in there. It's like, it's me. I'm Malcolm Merlin. I'm a badass. I'm the magician. Exactly.
I was the Dark Archer.
I think when him and Oliver, because Berriman and Oliver work so well off of each other, when their goals kind of align, I like that a lot. Just for some reason. Sometimes I like when the bad guys and the good guys are on the same team. It's kind of cool. But I think that's when they were dealing with Ra's, which I think is in season three.
Season three, when we get there. So 4.5 for me. What else did you just ask me something else before I rated it? I don't remember. I don't know. Overall, very much enjoyed it. We're going to take a quick break here, folks, because as I said earlier, two seasons, one podcast. So we're going to take a quick break, come back with season two after this.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Back here on Remote Control, episode 42. This is the summer of superheroes here on Remote Control on the Geekcast Radio Network. TF2 and Mike, trying to be DJV. I can't even talk now. Wow.
It's just DJ.
It's just DJ. It's just that. That's
my new show on. It's just me, DJ.
Yeah. It's just me, DJV. Wow. Now I'm like, you need a third or fourth verse to that Eminem song.
Jesus.
So we are continuing on here in episode 42, talking about Arrow season 2 with the Summer of Superheroes here on the Geekcast Radio Network on Remote Control. Wow. I forgot. I haven't, like I said, in the season one part of this episode, I have not watched this since it aired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's been on Netflix forever, of course, with the announcement and finally the pricing available for DC Universe. Of course, right. All the CW shows will be moving over to DC Universe app. Let me ask you really quickly. I know we're supposed to be in the middle of this podcast or whatever else, but since whatever, DC Universe pricing for the app has come out for the subscription service. It's either $7.99 a month,
right,
or $75 a year.
You're asking me which one I pick?
What are your thoughts? Yes.
I probably pick $7.99 a month so I can cancel.
Okay.
I have a feeling that I don't want to be locked in for a year. It's like, crap, I'm never going to get that $75 back. But $7.99 a month, I'm like, eh, okay. Because if I watch like one episode of Titans, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm straight. I don't need this network anymore.
You'll be like, fuck Batman.
I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, not enough episodes, reruns of Arrow and Flash can keep me on this network. I'm going to watch CW live. But, yeah. But so $7.99 a month.
But here's the thing about the DC Universe app. It's going to have everything. It's going to have Lois and Clark. It's going to have the old Superman serial, supposedly. It's going to have all the movies. It's going to have all the animation over the last X number of whatever years.
How's that CBS network app going, that other one, that streaming CBS?
I assume it's doing well. I mean, we don't know.
Because what he has.
I don't know. It. The way I look at it now is I'd rather pay the $75 a year than end up paying close to, let's just say, after taxes or whatever, wherever you're living, whatever state, let's say the $7.99 a month ends up being $8.06 or $8.10 a month.
But can you cancel, like, let's say I'm
in the third... that's the thing. I don't
know. I need options to leave. I can't be locked in a sentence. I'm not going to be on that island. Is it like $75 a year is Lee and you. I don't want to be Lee and you.
Oh, my God.
I'm stuck on this island, kid. I can't get off. I got to get off this island, man.
Wow. Alrighty then. So, Arrow Season 2. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah. I had forgotten half of the stuff that happened. As I said earlier in the episode about how early Flash was hinted at in season one, I mean, it's all here. I forgot that episode 8 of season 2, The Scientist, was the backdoor pilot for Flash.
Right.
Completely. Like, I thought that was season 3. I thought that was season 3 of Arrow. I'm like, I don't know.
I told you we had the Dark Knight first season of Arrow, and now we come to the best season, in my opinion, the Dark Knight Rises second season of Arrow, where I think this is when the show kind of hit its groove and really knew what it was doing, like where Arrow moved from a vendetta show, which is the first season, starring a superhero, to an actual superhero show where you got like Dr. Ivo and Amazo references. There's Barry Allen over there. A whole bunch of another Room 52 reference when it comes to one of these. They always keep an eye out when they find a person living in an apartment. Guaranteed, 9 times out of 10, it's Room 52. It always happens.
Well, that and the fact that Lance's call sign is DC 52.
Yeah. They keep dropping it. 52,
like,
52, 52.
Delta Charlie 52. We get it. Like, we get it. We get it. All right. We get it.
Some guy's just going to walk in the middle of frame and go, DC, and then keep walking away. Mm-hmm. They're going to get less subtle as the seasons go on.
It's going to be Will Arnett. I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. First try. No, but I mean, going into the show, and I know we briefly spoke about it. I never knew the relationship between Green Arrow and Deathstroke the Terminator is something I needed until this season, where I was like, this is one of maybe the greatest relationships of two comic book characters in a medium that I've seen. Mm-hmm. Because going in, it's like Deathstroke really has no connection to Green Arrow. He's a Batman guy or a Robin person, as we talked about. But it's so good. The stuff that happens here in this season is what put this show and I think this network on the map. Season one was good. Season two was like, okay, we got to start paying attention. And that's when they backdoored Barry Flash, Allen to the Flash and stuff like that. And that led to a whole bunch, led to essentially a DC network that before the DC streaming service app happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, you know, you've got basically the beginnings of all the League of Assassins stuff because you've got.
They said League of Assassins. Guys, if you go through my Twitter posts, you probably will find a lot of swearing, but if you go back far enough, you'll find me geeking out about the same episode when they said League of Assassins, because in The Dark Knight, Batman Begins, it's League of Shadows. And it's never, I was like, League of Shadows? What? Even Batman the Animator said League of Assassins. Why am I saying League of Shadows? So they said League of Assassins, and I said, Ra's al Ghul, they're just dropping everything. And, and if it wasn't clear that it's a Batman show, it was clear then.
What I've noticed going back, and I will mention this in the episodes going further, I already mentioned it in this episode, the logo for Arrow, the title card, the right. Arrow, whatever.
It subtly changes.
Season one, yeah. Throughout this upcoming seventh season thing, throughout the six seasons that have aired currently, the logo gets lighter and lighter, and at times, as we go get into like season 4, 5, and 6, it's obviously greener and greener and whatever.
Sometimes the arrow tip changes. I think the last season that this happened, it changed to one episode. It changed to what's his stupid name? The main villain in season 6. It changed to his tattoo, the dragon.
Oh,
tattoo.
Yeah.
They have a little, I forget his name. Ricardo Diaz.
Diaz. They do a lot of logo changes. There's one episode, it's not in, I think it's in season 3, where the Cupid chick comes in.
Oh, it's the Cupid arrow. Yeah.
And it's the Cupid arrow for the logo. And they do this with all of the shows, kind of. Flash, not so much. I mean, Flash has done it a little bit. Legends pretty much does it all the time.
Right.
And obviously, like I said, Arrow is essentially a...
Legends does that cool thing where they keep changing narrators, which I like.
Yeah.
And they say a different, because, you know, the whole gimmick is they say, like, the who they are. Mm-hmm. And when the Legends does it, they switch from, like, you know, somebody saying it nicely. And then it goes to, like, Mick, and he's like, hey, we're Legends. I hate this job, you know.
Yep.
That part is cool.
Yeah. But the Legends logo, a few times when it's been villains, it's changed from blue to red or something like that. With Arrow's logo changing from season 1 to season 6, it's obviously it's making fact of how the show has changed and how the character of Green Arrow Oliver Queen has changed. Like, you look at that season 1 logo, it's a black arrow. I mean, it's not...
No budget. Not a lot of style going on.
No budget.
It's a triangle on a black screen, essentially.
Yeah, when I first watched this for season 1, as we mentioned, I'm like, wow, that's like, when did Batman become Arrow Man or something? Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's crazy. But even I like
with,
it.
Even with the crossover, this show and the way Flash works, the relationship, and I'm jumping way ahead, but the relationship between Arrow and Barry is what Batman and Superman should be. That their relationship, sometimes they're at odds, sometimes they're on the same side, or most times they're on the same side. But just the way where Arrow is stoic and Barry's optimistic and happy, and the way they work off each other every time they're in scenes together, it's enjoyable because that dynamic works so well when you have a straight man and a, you know, the comic relief. It works. When you have two straight men, it's just boring. When it's just, you know. So I think when their crossover event kind of happened was around the time, I don't know, did they announce Batman vs Superman at that point? I cannot remember. I don't.
It was 2012 when they announced.
No. 2012, damn, when the hell did it? But so for some reason, I first heard BVS, and I was like, man, I hope it's kind of got the same kind of dynamic where the Justice League anime series, that's the pinnacle of how you do Batman and Superman in the same scenes together. But the way Ollie and Barry work off of each other in this season and in future seasons, and one of my favorite moments, which I don't remember, I think it's in a Flash episode, we'll talk about that later, but it works so well. And I think Ollie's development in this show, Ollie's development is this show. How Ollie starts to how, like you just brought up with the arrow changing and how the character changes. That is the show, really. Is how he start. When we first see him, he's just a cold-blooded, just murderer. He don't give a damn about anybody. And then you, I watched I finally finished season six, and he's got like a team, and he's talking about, you know, we gotta. I watched season two, a couple episodes of season two. He's like, we can't have vigilantes running around the city. And in season six, there's vigilantes all over the city that you're endorsing. So, it's all about how Oliver changes throughout this show.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it is look at a one shot movie or something like. That has a beginning, middle, and end. Obviously, most everything does. Some things wrap up really quickly. Some things put on a bow on it. And some things leave you cliffhangery or whatever. But you look at something that's just like a one-shot. And you don't get enough character development. And this is the cool thing about between movies and TV. Movies, there's not like... Yes, you know... There's a lot of character development throughout... let's say... the first two Batman films that are originally there.
Right.
Because I know as soon as I bring up the other two, everybody's going to jump down my throat, including you. but at least the first two, because it was the same actor. And I've said this before, Michael Keaton, one of, if not the best Batman, I will still defend Batman Forever as being a Bruce Wayne movie over a Batman film. Mm. But... the thing of it is you only have a finite amount of time. The CW, WB, UPN, the CW doesn't cancel anything. Nothing. So it's not like, I'm sure certain things go away, but in this DC Warner Brothers CW television universe, these shows aren't going away anytime soon. I mean, it's more logical that Supernatural will end before any of these things will.
So Supernatural is never going to end.
Yes, it will.
I'm gonna have a long wispy beard, and Supernatural will still be on the air.
God, but the point is, you have more time in television to develop the character, and that's what I love about this. Is each of these shows, each of the main characters, like Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl. Supergirl still needs work. Supergirl to me is like. How people describe Star Trek The Next Generation, it didn't really gain ground until like the third or fourth season, or it didn't really, you know, come into its own until the third or fourth season kind of a thing, because they have the whole stigma of, you know, Star Trek TOS and whatever, even though they said whatever. Point is, single character shows, you have X number of episodes, X number of seasons to build that character. And they've done, as much as I dislike Arrow's season 3, 4, and 5, because it just kind of went off the rails a little bit too much for me, and we'll get into that as we do these episodes. They've really worked on the character, and because Stephen Amell is so gung-ho about everything to do with this stuff. Yeah, he's so committed with it, and that's great. You don't want to have a Ian Gruffudd, Mr. Fantastic or something in a show like this where you don't care. You don't want to have... you know, Chris Rock show up and say, I should be the best voice actor ever. You know, you don't want that. You want someone like Stephen Amell, who is so committed and so dedicated to the role and where the direction of the show, the direction of the character is going. And season two, like you said, is pretty much the peak at this point.
Right.
Obviously, it's only two seasons at this point when this came out, but I loved almost every minute of this. I kind of get I said earlier in the episode, I didn't really, I was kind of through with the flashbacks. I didn't mind them in season
two. No, this is probably the best season with flashbacks, I think.
Absolutely.
The first season's kind of like, okay, I get the gimmick. But here you're like, oh man, you're learning about Slade. You're learning about Ivo. You're learning about Sarah. You learn about Shadow. You learn about so much stuff. And then as this season ends, skipping ahead, you left that awesome cliffhanger with Amanda Waller.
Yep.
So you're just like, oh, whoa, this is and they're off the island. So you're like, oh, crap, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this I think in terms of flashback, and after a while it started getting tired. I think they should start doing something else with those. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember in season six. Do I remember flashbacks? I think they might have got rid of them at that point.
Yeah, no. They said, I believe the news story came out last year, as of season six would be the last season that they used flashbacks. So they're starting to, or they've pretty much dropped them.
Do some flash forwards. How about that? I think they kind of had a thing with that with, was it Legends? One of those shows kind of did like a flash forward thing, but it was only for an episode. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could essentially do a flash forward. Like, okay, you know how, take one of the coolest shows ever, Law & Order Criminal Intent. They'll do something like, you know, this is what happened now, but here's 8 hours previous or eight hours from now. You can do that kind of time jump, not just because you have Legends around, but you can do that kind of time jump with Arrow at this point, at the current point that they're at. And I have no idea. I know Ollie's going to be in prison in season seven. Other than that, I have no idea what to expect out of season seven for Arrow. I'm keeping up with all the news and all that, and it's just on overload. October cannot get here any faster.
I think the way season six ended was like really well. I know we're talking about season two, but just as a show, I think two. If you're looking at a stock of like, if you look at the show as a stock, it's going up, and when it hits to two, it starts to like kind of whittle down. And I think when it hit six, it went up a little. It got an uptick because you're right. Around three, middle of three. Again, I told you, first half of three I was in, and then after as three ended all the way to five, I was kind of like, man, Arrow's in the dumps. And I think they knew that. And then I think season six, they tried to rectify a lot of these problems, like you're saying, get rid of the flashbacks, kind of do something fresh with the show. And Oliver in prison, spoiler alert, might be the thing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Season two, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was super interesting. I felt that all of the stuff that happened in season one with the parents and with this and with that was done, obviously. And we'll see Jamie Sheridan at some point as Robert Queen in, like, you know, flashes and things like that and whatever.
Right.
We might see Moira at some point or another, but both their parents are dead now.
Right.
And this basically drives Thea to not want to even be she wants to go off and do her own thing. She wants to get out of Starling. And that's the other thing, and I think we mentioned this earlier, so sorry, folks, if I'm forgetting if we did. I cannot wait until they get it to the point where it's Star City and not Starling. Ugh. God, I think
they say Star City in season six. I think they might be starting.
Yeah, I think it's like
around.
Yeah,
so I know they did that rebranding of Ray Palmer was trying to do the rebranding of the city as Star City or whatnot. But I agree. Oh, the thing about Thea is and one of the good things I can say about season three is I like where Thea goes after this season. It kind of it sets her up very, very well for the next. You know, a couple seasons. So.
It does, absolutely. But for Oliver, it basically just turns into, hey, I'm Batman. Fuck Arrow, I'm Batman.
But yeah, I think the standout, if we're not going to talk about Manu, because Manu is Slade.
Oh, no, yeah, we will.
He's the best. Katie Lotz, recasting. This is where recasting is done right, where I think... I could give a damn about Sarah Lance, and Katie Lotz made me think that Sarah Lance is probably either one or 1B most interesting female character in the Arrowverse. So interesting, she got her own damn show. So yeah, Sarah Lance, a Black Canary, now she's White Canary. She's awesome, and I like when they introduce they go through her flashback when she wakes up on the boat, the door, Titanic style. And you see the little canary float next to her. I was like, oh, that's really well. They do a lot of little subtle things. That's kind of not subtle, but little things where I'm like, oh, that's cool. And her performance, Katie, talk about a character that's grown, where she was kind of like this ditzy girl. And then now she's essentially Captain Jack Sparrow on a time ship.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's a badass who can, like, I mean, she's the muscle essentially on that show. So yeah, I like Katie Lott, she just brings something to that character where, unfortunately for the actress that plays Laurel, Laurel just starts to be outshined by every other female character on the show. If it's not Thea, it's Felicity. If it's not Felicity, it's Sarah. It's crazy.
Yeah. If it's not Felicity, it's Sarah. If it's not Sarah, it's Nyssa. If it's not this, it's that. If it's Sin. Not whatever, it's like it's Sin. Yeah, exactly. You know, Moira. Like Moira, seriously,
every female character is Shadow. Every female character just seems more interesting than her, so she keeps falling down the totem pole of the Amanda Waller, Lila, yeah. All of them are more interesting.
I'll say this for Katie Cassidy's character of Laurel. It got better in season two because they're giving her some sort of path. They're giving her the path of her finding out. Like, the moment when she went to Sarah and Katie Lotz pulled off
hourglass.
I forgot it was a wig.
Oh, the wig.
I thought that was still her. Like, I forgot that that was a wig on her. And I'm like, oh, okay, so that's one way to disguise yourself. Use a giant blonde wig. And I mean, she's blonde anyway, but that's...
If you're blonde anyway, like, Batwoman has a red wig, but she didn't have red hair. She looks different. But if you're Sarah Lynch, like, you might want to try a wig that's not the exact same color as your hair.
And... I remember when I first saw this show, I'm like, okay, so they list the character as Laurel Lance, and then they eventually come up to it and saying, oh, Laurel's her middle name, you know, it's Dinah Laurel Lance. I'm like, oh, so eventually she's going to be Black Canary because, hello, that's who, Dinah Lance is Black Canary, kind of a thing. What I love about Arrow is the twists and turns that they've taken throughout the six seasons to get to the point of where the Black Canary character is. Because at first I was like, Sarah Lance, that's not Black Canary's real identity. Who the hell is that? Like, I'm like,
and then they take you down a different path.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I think that's super cool. And season two did it so well. You basically, you know, between season two and season three, you're going to have Sarah eventually give up, or because I think she dies at one point in season three again. third time's the charm, right? You have that where she passes the mantle on to Laurel. You have Laurel, you know, so Laurel's character between season two and season three, she gets better. She doesn't just become this supposedly strong woman that fades into the background that every other woman is stronger than she is. She actually,
right,
character-wise, grows into, even though she already was a strong woman, the producers, writers, staff kind of pay attention to everybody else right now in season two.
I think they didn't know what to do with her. Right. And you can kind of tell from the first couple episodes, like, she's an alcoholic, guilty drug problem. It's like they didn't know what to do, and then she kind of, we'll do this to get her. Well, that's what I got. I guess this is why where 23, 22 episodes comes in handy, because you can kind of figure it out before. Yeah. I kind of like shows that are shorter that they figure it out ahead of time. But I think in the middle of the season, they kind of figured out, okay, this is what we're going to do with Laurel. Because in the beginning, I don't think they had any idea of what they were going to do with her, because they were kind of more interested in Sarah's coming back. How is it going to affect Laurel and Detective Quentin Lance? They didn't really weren't really paying attention. What's Laurel doing this time? We'll just give her something to keep her kind of stagnant until we're ready to use it, until we figured out what the heck that is, which eventually is Black Canary stuff.
Yep, absolutely. What else do we want to bring up about season two? Is there anything you didn't like about season two?
I didn't like the drug problem with Laurel, because, again, it's pretty telegraphed stuff. I do like the fact that this season has one of my favorite lines in all of the Arrowverse, and it comes from John Diggle, where he says, "My secret identity is the black driver." It makes me laugh every single time. Sebastian Blood, I mean, there's been some unfortunate names in politics, Jeff Flake, Donald Trump, but, dude... Honestly, are you voting for any politician with the last name Blood? That's like voting for Greg Evil or like David Knife Wound or something. It's like, not a huge fan of the Blood storyline, except for the parts that are connected to Deathstroke. He's kind of like a fake. We're talking about Batman stuff. He's kind of like the Scarecrow in Batman Begins. He's kind of like the mini boss before the boss.
Yeah, pretty much.
and the actor who plays him is, I guess, he's okay. It's just like,
yeah,
that whole the everything when Blood shows up, I'm like, oh god, just. But when Deathstroke is introduced and you see that he's Deathstroke is just Geppettoing this whole situation. It's like, okay, I understand your purpose now, Blood. Before I was just worried going into season two that as that stuff happened, that he was going to be the main person. I didn't see the Slade villain thing really coming.
Oh, really?
Yet. Yeah, I mean, until it starts happening, you're like, oh, this is great. This is more. So you almost forget, like, my apprehension to begin. Like, don't make Blood the main dude. Don't make Blood take out Slade, and then Arrow has to take out Blood. Get rid of Blood. Blood's just a mini-boss. Yeah, that's probably the things I didn't like. For the fact that they cast a character actress I really like, Summer Glau, who is River Tam from Firefly, Serenity, who I like a lot. I do not like her character in this show. Was essentially, she's just, you know, mean lady, who's also being, her strings are being pulled by Slade, and she's essentially Slade daughter 2.3. I don't know what the hell she is. That whole other thing, I think it should, when it's mano y mano, Ollie and Slade, it's perfect. It's literally perfect. A perfect show. Mm-hmm. And all these other people kind of get in the way of it. Blood and I forget Summer Glau's character's name. That's how much I don't really like her.
Isabel Rochev.
Rochev, yes. When they get kind of in the middle, it's like, even when it comes to the hero, even when on Ollie's side, I just want Deathstroke and Ollie. And I think I do love the twist that this show ends with, kind of with how Ollie defeats Slade, in the fact that they kind of play with the fans a little bit, where he says the line, "I love you, Felicity," but it was all ruse. So he wanted Slade to get her, so she could. I thought that was really clever, because again, none of the fans saw it coming, because they just wanted they've been eliciting this relationship for the entire two seasons, and they kind of took that and they made it a kind of a plot point, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah. That, again, season two changes all the plots. It gets rid of Moira and all of her things.
Brutally,
season
by two, the way.
Oh, yes. Like, death by sword. Like, she really did fall on her own sword. Not really her sword, but...
on somebody else's own sword.
Exactly. We get this here, and they eventually come back to it, but season two was where we find out that young Ollie got some chick pregnant... and that eventually comes back around, obviously.
Still dealing with the whirlwind of that. That did not go away. It's still there, folks.
So season two, let's say they're in... Okay, season two, they're what, maybe 5, 6, 7 years after the island or something, or what? I don't know.
I think it's 6 years after the island.
Yeah. Okay, so... let's say by whatever time that, you know, we come back to Samantha and her son, even though that, like, I don't even think they said her name in the episode here in season two, but I just know, I remember that's what her name was, and obviously she has a boy, right. Yada, yada, yada. I don't know how long $2 million would make her last within the Arrowverse, especially in Central City. I mean... Central City eventually gets Big Belly Burger. They have, you know...
Central. What's the name of the coffee shop?
It's not Central Perk. Don't you dare say that. It's, oh, God, it's,
They rebrand something else.
I should know this. It's... we'll find out next week. we'll find out when we get to the Flash Season 1. Arrow Season 2, there wasn't much I didn't like about it.
No, it's the least flawed season, I think.
Yeah, I actually did not get tired. I said earlier with season one, you know, by episode 11 or 12, I'm like ready to tap out at this point. Like the halfway point of the season, out of the 23 episode, I'm like, okay, ding, 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 I'm gone. You know, Glass Joe just hit me in the face. I'm out. season 2 was not like that. I actually enjoyed every bit of this. I didn't even see the Summer Glau twist happening until it happened. And again, you know, some people go off memory, some people don't. I can't. In order for me to discuss these things, I don't care how old the TV show is, I have to rewatch whatever it is that I have to rewatch to do it. Because unless it's Knight Rider, I don't remember shit.
Michael Knight.
That's right.
But no, I think this. You can just tell as this season's progressing. They're having fun with it, and I mean that from behind and in front of the camera. They know we're going to drop a Suicide Squad episode here, just because we can. And then we're going to have a kind of a nod to Harley Quinn, but we can't use Harley Quinn. They're just dropping all these little things where it's like, oh, that's pretty cool. The Metamorpho Lab is where the doll maker's hanging out. It's just stuff like that. You can tell they were hitting their stride, and they were like, okay, we've been picked up. We kind of have a better budget now. We can just start just dropping stuff. Hints to this. Maybe this will be a show. Maybe this won't. Maybe this is just so we get a little treat for the fans. And every single episode seemed to have two or three treats for the fans, whether it's the DC 52 or the Door 52 or the Amazo stuff. I just like that. That personal stuff to me just shows to me they did their research. They're not just using it as a name. They actually want to make a good show, but they know what the hell they're talking about. They've done more research on Arrow than I probably ever had, or the DC Universe that I've ever done. So if I'm picking out stuff, and I'm not a huge knowledge person when it comes to DC, I know Marvel a bit more. But if I watched the Justice League cartoon backwards and forwards. So when I see things like Amazo, when I saw Amazo the first time, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh shit, that's awesome. So yeah, I think this was the season where when you get in the groove. This is the groove season.
Yes, it very much is. And it's just, what is so great about this is you have, I don't want to say, you have your main storyline with Sebastian Blood, Brother Blood, and Slade Wilson obviously gets revealed as it goes along.
Right.
But you also have, as you said, these little nods, these little things, almost vignette episodes, like Huntress came back for an episode.
That made you happy.
Of course. Hello. Hello. It's like that. You know, she came back for an episode. You've got the kind of the whole introduction of Barry and Star Labs and Cisco and Caitlin and all of that and everything else to set up the Flash and that kind of stuff. Was cool.
Caitlin Snow was a drop as well at the time. Because when I first, I was like, wait, isn't that Killer Frost? I was like, whatever. At the time, I was like, they're just dropping these little things. And then now we know that Caitlin does become, spoiler alert, Killer Frost, one of the big, big, big Flash characters. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And season 2 has just done so much. I mean, you know. They've just done so much with it, and it is so cool. Just everything with it was great. Like, there's nothing here.
That last seven episode run is probably worth the price of admission anyway. Like, soon as Slade kind of gets in there, man, and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And you see that he's essentially like doing Lex Luthor-y things, but he's Deathstroke. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, he's got the physicality, but he's got the mind game stuff. I love. I mean, it's kind of like the best parts of Spider-Man 3 when Harry's messing with Spider-Man or Peter. I love that stuff where he's just I'm gonna tear your life apart. Then when you're at your weakest. Then I'm going to kill you. That's why I got the Dark Knight Rises thing, because that's essentially what Bane does, because he just tears away Bruce Wayne until he's just Batman and he just breaks him. So yeah, I this season in terms of a great arc, this is probably the strongest of the arcs. I mean, the Glades arc, though it's essentially the same Ra's al Ghul Batman Begins plot, it's not as personal as this one. This was personal.
Oh, stuff, yeah. Yeah, it does. The one episode that I thought they did really well to further Oliver's character was episode 9, The Three Ghosts. Where, you know, you have to, you know, see your three ghosts and figure out what they're trying to tell you. And the fact that they brought back the actor that plays Tommy to be that third ghost was really friggin' cool. Like, for Ollie to get the closure, I guess you could say, from, even though it's a hallucination or whatever, like, but, you know,
he forgives himself, essentially, through a ghost of Tommy.
Exactly. That was really cool. I just love going back and watching this stuff. I think it's just super fun. What would you rate season 2?
I think I would probably give it a 4.5. I'll go 4.5. Because I think this is the we've said many times, this is the pinnacle. I think every other season's lower than it. I mean, this is not perfect. There are some episodes that are I don't need it, but I mean, this is as close to perfect as the era has ever been and probably will ever be. Though I think as a character, Arrow has consistently, or Green Arrow or Ollie or whatever, or Stephen Amell's character, he has been perfect in all the crossovers. Like, the way they do Oliver in all these crossovers has been like he's batting 1,000. And like every time there's a Flash Arrow crossover, or an Arrow Legends of Tomorrow crossover, or Arrow whatever, perfect. But in terms of seasons, in terms of your social seasons, I think this is the best, and this is 4 out of 5. 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 4.5. There was nothing in this season that made me want to turn the show off. There isn't anything that they did to reference whatever, to say, oh, they didn't do that right, or oh, this, or oh, that, or whatever. Everything about the show as of season 2 is coming into its own. It's giving all of the characters that you follow certain storylines and certain things. You could follow each one of them in whatever ways that you wanted. You know, that whole switcheroo thing with Felicity and Laurel, with having Felicity go back to the mansion. The fact that the mother is now dead and the mansion is essentially empty. Like, I mean, it's been so long since I've seen these earlier seasons. Like I said, I haven't seen them since they actually aired half the time. I don't remember. Do they still have
the mansion
in seat? Like, I
don't know if that, man, I'm trying to remember. It might have been 5 or 4 they dealt with that, because he lives at Felicity's place, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Like, seeing the mansion empty was cool and weird. Seeing Walter come back was great. I thought that was super cool, seeing Colin Salmon come back.
Yeah. Did we ever mention that mansion in the first season is the same mansion from X-Men? It's the same mansion. They use...
Oh, is it?
I believe, like, I'm like 95% sure. You can look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's the exact same mansion. They just come in through the back way. But I think it's the same castle that they use for those movies.
Cool. Did you know that Leanne Yu is in Canada?
Isn't everything in Arrow in Canada?
Well, probably, but I'm saying that I've said this before, and I'm sorry for repeating it, folks. I pay attention to the fictional aspect of things. I don't like whatever's in front of my screen, that's what I'm paying attention to. I'm not paying attention to where it is in real. Like, everybody's like, "Oh, Metropolis is New York and Gotham City is New Jersey." I'm like, whatever. Anyway, but it's, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, I just kind of got curious after I had watched the first season and I watched part of the second season, like up to like the first 8 episodes. I'm like, I'm curious where it is. So I just Googled it and I'm like, oh, it's the scenes that they use for Leanne Yu are shot somewhere in Canada.
It's cheaper, and for the simple fact that the forest looks very foresty, not jungly, which an island would be. So it makes sense.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I just really dug it. I thought it was super fun. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Where can the people find you and your lovely show, Simplistic Reviews, online, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at TryingToBeDJV. Our show Twitter is at SimpleTweeters, and you can follow everything. The search YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, the dark web, the search Simplistic Reviews. You can find us.
guys are on the dark web. Wow, you must charge for that.
Oh, so much money. So much money, kid. Hey, kid, so much money.
I'm at TFG1 Mike on Twitter. You can find Remote Control on Facebook. You can also find Geekcast Radio on Facebook and Twitter at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. Coming up next time, we've got episode 43 where DJ will be back with me to talk Batman season, I'm sorry, oh. Arrow season 3, and The Flash season 1.
Fuck Arrow. I mean, Batman. I mean,
fuck the League of Shadows. All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. Keep fighting over the remote control, and we will catch you next time here in the Summer of Superheroes on the Geekcast Radio Network's Remote Control.
You're going to run over there, you're going to come back at me, and you're going to get hit with an arrow.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Okay, fine. I will humor you.
Ready?
Ready.
Nice try.
You shot me?
I heard you heal fast.
You've been tuned in to Remote Control, the Geekcast Radio Network's modern TV podcast. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the RCTV crew next time for a new modern TV topic. I'm your announcer, Optimus Solo, and remember to think of us the next time you pick up the remote controller.